Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 26 of the Push My Buttons Games podcast. We got an awesome show for you today. We're going to talk about some Mortal Kombat, some Last of Us HBO news, and we're going to wrap it up with a dive into the Nintendo Directness that we got this past week. It's me. I'm back. It's Luke. My computer works. So I'm back here. And I'm joined again by Mr. Captain Platinum.
Hey, everybody.
Dungeon Master Mike.
Finish him. Get over here.
And the ever reclusive Panda Pat.
Hello.
We found her in the bamboo forest. We coaxed her out with catnip.
And lots of Sims pictures.
But only the mods. Man. Okay, guys, let's just jump into it. Let's talk about some of the games we've been currently playing. I'll go first. I jumped on the new Ghost Recon Rainbow Six crossover event that they just did a day after it ended, so all of the rewards were a lot harder to get than if I would have played it a day before. But it's really cool. They bring over three operators from the from Rainbow Six to kind of run around with Nomad in Ghost Recon. And there's like this, it's called Operation Amber Sky. And it's this chemical that goes out everywhere. And like, you kind of have to reset the world parameters. So like, there's big chunks of the island that you have to use this new mechanic of putting on like a gas mask, and you have to change the filter. So you have like a timed filter, and if you don't change it by a certain time, you just slowly start dying. But it's cool. Like, this is another first is these other operators they brought over have their own abilities. So you get someone that can, like, if you're about to die, they basically can make you invulnerable for like 30 seconds for you to be able to change your filter or get to cover or whatever. So that's really cool. And they also added the mechanic of just kicking doors in like a badass, which I am here for entirely. You can throw grenades at doors and it just blows them off the hinges. You can just smash through roofs and stuff, which is obviously, you know, one of the big things about Siege. So I'm glad that that's in Ghost Recon, and I'm glad that they're sticking with doing these events and these like guest operators that can roll around with you is really awesome. And I have been playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 on Switch. This game took me a while to come around on, because I was the world's biggest fan of Ultimate Alliance 2. Mike, if I could put this in perspective for something that you would understand, it was my Xenoverse before Xenoverse. I played
it. Oh, wow. That's intense.
I played
that's
all
big money.
The time. All the time. So this one coming out for Switch, the graphics look like a mobile game. And it was much more like the first Ultimate Alliance game or the old X-Men Legends games, where it's a little more like from the top. And I was just so mad that it wasn't the Ultimate Alliance 3 that I had been wanting for 10 years or however long it felt like between the two. So that one, like, it took me so long, and I finally came around to it, mostly because I talked Pat into playing it with me so I could actually have someone else to play with, and it made it a lot easier to get into. But once I broke the ice and actually getting into it, I've been really enjoying it, minus a few things that enrage me. But no, it's I today I pulled a full Michael Cera from Superbad, where I was like, why do they even tell you to do this if you can't beat the game? Like, I don't
get that reference.
I was so upset. But yeah, really, that's about it. That's all I've been playing, just kind of bouncing back and forth between the two. Mike, what have you been playing?
So I've been playing a game called Pathfinder Kingmaker, which if you are a tabletop RPG buff like me, you'll know what Pathfinder is. But for those who don't, Pathfinder So there's Dungeons and Dragons, right? And there's different editions of Dungeons and Dragons. Everyone hated Dungeons and Dragons 4th edition. So the people that really, really, really hated it decided that they want to stick with Dungeons and Dragons 3rd edition to update it, and that became Pathfinder. So Pathfinder is essentially Dungeons and Dragons' cousin. So Pathfinder Kingmaker is a video game that started on Kickstart. I was going to call it Jumpstart. So I got fully funded, and they built an entire game that was essentially a compilation of modules that creates a campaign in Pathfinder. And so I'm playing Pathfinder Kingmaker. I am 80 hours in. And
wow,
I'm trying to finish it. It got to the point where I'm like, okay, I like this game, but I don't want to spend very much time on it. I'm going to hack it, give myself max level, give myself all the good items and instant teleportation around the map. And it's still taking me forever to finish. Like this game is thick.
With two C's.
This game is real thick. It's got a couple flaws in it. I don't want to get too much into the flaws because that would take too much time. But it is a good game if you like tabletop stuff. Grab it. It's pretty fun. On the flip side, while Pathfinder Kingmaker is like a brick, Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice is like a pamphlet. It literally took me 1/10 of the amount of hours as Pathfinder. But I did a 100% run through of it, and it was quick, easy, and it was very, very deep and intense. I am still confused by the ending. For those of you who don't know, Hellblade was done with the assistance of lots of psychiatrists and psychologists because they wanted the main character to have psychosis and schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. So you experience the game with psychosis and schizophrenia effects. And they had consultants who actually go through those disorders and commenting on it.
So, yeah, it's really intense. I've had people, like, as I was playing it, because you have to play it with the headset on. Like, there's no way around it. You have to. And I've been sitting there, and someone's like, oh, this doesn't seem that intense. I'm like, here, put the headset on. Because, like, when you're hearing it on the TV, it just comes out of different speakers, but it's both in front of you. So, like, unless your audio depth perception is great, you barely notice it. When you put the headset on, though, and you have someone come up behind it, she doesn't trust you. Like, right in your behind your ear, you're like, ah, stop. And I've put the headphones on other people, and they've spazzed out.
And said, you get ghosts following you and whispering to you.
It's pretty intense. I really liked it. I played it with the headphones, and it was a stupendous piece of gamery. Definitely recommend it because I got it for like $7 on PC, and it's worth more than $7.
Yeah. And we're going to be getting the second one.
That was Xbox. The reason why I wanted to play this one, because she looks absolutely wicked in the trailer for the second one, and now I'm like, oh, I think I get it now.
Yep.
I played Hellblade. I completed that. I did that over a weekend. I forgot the name of the newest Star Wars game. So on the notes here, I have SW Jedi DeForce Order because I knew it had something about with the Force. I was going to call it Force Unleashed.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, Jedi Fallen Order. Because I forgot the name. But yeah, I'm playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I didn't realize it was a Souls clone. It was a soul. It's a Souls-like. It's very more linear.
Very light, too. It's not nearly as infuriating.
But I mean, minus the difficulty and minus the number of branching paths. It's very linear, at least from what I'm finding. There are some branching paths, but I haven't gotten to a point where I actually have like a legitimate option. It's more like
it's like you could do this now or you could do the other one first, but you have to do both of them before you can get to the third thing. So
it's still pretty linear. There's no branching paths yet. But it is a Souls-like. It's got the same mechanics. It's got parry, it's got dodging, it's melee, different enemy types require different strategies. So I was like, oh geez, I thought it was just like a smash and beat 'em up. But no, so I'm enjoying it. I'm not putting a whole bunch of time into it, just like an hour here and there, because I'm trying to finish Pathfinder. And last but not least, definitely not least, I'm playing Yakuza 7 still, where my main character is swinging a giant vibrator as a weapon.
Is the Yakuza series your Xenoverse?
Oh, yes, yes. My other character, I think I've mentioned this before, one of the greatest things I think about this game is that it humanizes homelessness, and it actually brings up the issue of homelessness, at least in Japan. And how people tend to dehumanize homelessness and just kind of a lot of those things. So one of your main characters, he's a homeless guy. He is a disgraced nurse, and he's living in a box. And so everyone has funky, really weird moves, like a move set, right? And so he's definitely an exception to the jokes. Everyone has the joke moves. So like what he'll do is he'll take like a handful of beans and he'll throw them at you and you get tackled by pigeons.
Beans!
Or like his healing ability to heal himself. He pulls out a piece of cardboard, he lays it on the ground, takes a power nap, and then wakes up, and then like he restores health. It's just... he's my favorite character. But yeah, I'm playing Yakuza 7. I play that game... That's a game where it's like, it's like a delicacy. It's like that rich chocolate cake in the fridge that you're just like, once you're gone, and I need to step away from you because you're not good for my health. But oh man, I love you so much. So I don't dive into it so much. What I do is I open up the cake and I take a scoop, a biteful, and I enjoy it and I savor it, and then I put it away. And
that is exactly how I play Kakarot.
Yes.
I'm like, because I don't want to finish the story.
Yeah, I don't want to finish it. So I probably put in about 20 hours, but I'll play like an hour at a time. And I'm like, I love you so much, but I got to put you away because you are not healthy for me. And then, yeah. So Yakuza 7, I'll be playing for a long time. But once I'm done with Pathfinder Kingmaker, my schedule opens up a little bit more. So I think I really dive into Yakuza, or I'll pick up Battletech again and try to finish that one.
I almost thought you said Battletoads, and I was going to be 100% behind that decision.
No, see, I play deeper games. Sorry, that was it.
Come at Battletoads like that.
No, I don't want to get Battletoad phone calls from Pat. But yeah, I'll play Battletoads eventually.
So, yeah. All right, Pat, you're up. What have you been playing?
Me, I've only been playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance and my mobile game that I play, but I hate that thing.
And how are you liking Ultimate Alliance? Because I know you were a big fan like I was.
Yeah, so I am still on the fence. Like, I'm happy that it exists, but I'm having difficulty because I don't have the characters I want. I really thought that they would put a lot more women in it, and they did. They did a good amount, but it's not as many as I want. It's still majority men characters, I have Marvel characters that I'm like, oh yeah, they definitely would put that person in there. There's no reason they wouldn't, and then they didn't, and I'm mad about it.
She raged for about 15 minutes that you couldn't play as Vision.
Why would they put so much effort into
especially now with the TV show and everything?
Yeah, especially with the TV show. Like, both of them should be in there. If they put Scarlet Witch in there, Vision should absolutely be in there. I mean,
they could do Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, but it has to be like one and the other. I agree. I think it could be, has to either be Scarlet Witch and Vision or Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, but they just have Scarlet Witch.
Right. And I was thinking about it today, like when they first announced the game, obviously years ago, because it came out in
2019.
Switch.
Yeah.
It
came out in the old times, in the pre-world.
They were celebrating Women of Marvel and things like that. And I thought they were going to release it with like at least the A-Force team, which there's only one A-Force character in the whole game, which is total bullshit. I mean, like, why not She-Hulk?
I would like that would have been nice. So She-Hulk's never been playable, and I always wanted her to be in the especially in the second one.
And I mean, to put so much effort into writing lines for Vision, putting so much effort into writing lines for Jessica Jones, why didn't they just put them in the game? Like,
I agree. Not having Jessica Jones really fucks up my Defenders team.
Right. Like, they did the whole Netflix series. At least fulfill the Defenders team, or I don't know, like, have one of the other chicks, whatever her name is.
Or are you talking
Squirrel
about
Squirrel Girl?
Are you talking about oh my gosh, Rosario Dawson's character?
No, I was talking about the other one.
You mean Ahsoka?
Colleen?
Yes, Colleen.
Colleen Wing? Yeah, she would be a good, like, you know, NPC character. Especially when you have like Psylocke and Iron Fist in there, kind of filling that role.
Right. I don't know. It bothers me. But otherwise, I do enjoy the game. I enjoy dungeon crawlers. I saw that some news was announced for Diablo 2 today. So I'm really like in the mood for dungeon crawlers. So yes, I love the game. I'm happy that it exists. And I will be satisfied with the characters that I get.
Okay, Jamie, you're up.
All right, yeah, so I've been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but I haven't touched it in like 2 weeks. That's what I've been streaming on Twitch, and I just haven't had time to stream on Twitch lately. So the only thing I've really been using my PS5 for lately is to watch WandaVision. But I've just been playing my Switch. I don't know why, I've just been in Switch mode. You know how it goes sometimes. I did play a little bit of RE5 with my buddy that I do play that game with, so we've moved on a little bit in that. And then, like I said, I've been playing the Switch, so I picked up Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe. I think I cleared the first 4 worlds on that one, if I remember right. And I found everything so far in the secret exits, which, man, they hit some stuff in that game. You know, it's the 2D Mario game.
Yeah.
And then I've been playing the Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition. For some reason, I just was jonesing to play that game, so I've been playing that.
I'm not sure if I want to play Age of Calamity or the Definitive Edition. I know I really want to get into one of them.
Age of Calamity is the shorter one. I've read you can do that in like 20 hours. Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition is they took the Wii U game and the 3DS game and mixed them together and then gave you basically the best of both worlds. Now, if you're just trying to do the story, you can probably do that as quick as Age of Calamity, but the main thing in Hyrule Warriors is the adventure maps that you go to, and that's where you're going to spend a bunch of your time. So I've just liked it because, you know, I'll have like 20 minutes, so I'll go do a level in Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition when I have like 20 minutes. So that's been just a good downtime, not think about it, you know, the 1 versus 1,000, just go and wreck some troops.
Good old hack and slash.
Yeah, buddy. I still love Valhalla. I think I'm in chapter 2, 3, 4, somewhere in there. I don't remember how they broke up the thing, but I think I'm around 30 hours into the game. But I've been running around the one map, like, grabbing everything. There's so many little things to go do in that game. So, but it's been fun. I enjoy it. And then, yeah, I'm still, like I said, playing Galaxy of Heroes every time we chat. I'm still playing that game. It looks like, I believe Arnold did a video today. I was just listening to that real quick before we hopped on here. It sounds like they saw that there's going to be a big app update coming in the App Store next week, and they've said Conquest is coming potentially next week. So back in January, they said, yeah, the new game mode that's coming is Conquest, and they did the data mine, and it looks like they saw the map from Battlefront 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that looks kind of like that. Like, it looks like they took some, you know, use that to kind of lay out the conquest map. So that'll use that as inspiration. So we'll see what they announce next week for that. So hopefully it'll be a good game mode. But yeah, the game's been pretty quiet other than that since the beginning of the year. We got the armor from the Mandalorian last month. Sabine Wren is the current login character, and they've added the Mandalorian tag, which in one of the side quests with Mudbomb and IG-88, we talked about that we wanted a Mandalorian faction. Well, we have it. They just suck right now. So, and they did kind of say Bo-Katan is not coming, so I think that means she is coming. So, yeah, there's like 15 knots, and they did like 14 knots of that. Yeah, so. So, we'll see, you know, based on, you know, the Mandalorian season 2 and everything, we'll see where this heads. And I'm just curious what the big character is going to be in Conquest to, you know, keep people playing that game, right, that mode.
Cool. So we're going to talk about the Mortal Kombat trailer now. But right before we jump into that, I didn't put it in the notes here, but I did see it today. Ubisoft is their game For Honor, the Viking v. Samurai v. Knights game.
Yep.
They are having a cameo of sorts with Shovel Knight. You can put the Shovel Knight armor on your character, but I was very sad to see that you cannot, in fact, replace your axe with a shovel, which would have been like game changing. I'm like, whoa, I can literally be Shovel Knight and For Honor. Time to pick that back up.
Mm-hmm.
But no shovel deaths, so only shovel armor. All right. Okay. So now let's talk about Mortal Kombat trailer. We got the trailer for the April 16th release of Mortal Kombat 2021 on Hubbo Max.
It looks a lot more video gamey.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing, but compared to like the 90s movies, which they tried to go like a realistic with a mystical element to it, like this one, they're just
it's like, fuck it, no, we're a video game. Let's just do video game stuff.
Liu Kang can punch the floor and a fire dragon comes out. Like,
yep.
That's, although I do like the ice powers, Sub-Zero.
Yeah, like they start out hard. He freezes a man's arms off that then explode in blood clouds, like within the first 30 seconds of the trailer, and I was like, I know what I'm in for, and I'm here for it.
Your body is ready.
Yep, isn't my body Jax, was ready. Though? What was that?
Isn't that Jax?
I don't think so.
I thought
that would make sense if it was.
It could be, but I'll have to watch it again. But that was great. He just blew his arms off.
Explains things. Mm-hmm.
So what are your guys' overall thoughts after watching the trailer?
I'm just wondering, where is Chun-Li?
Don't worry.
I mean, how could they forget Chun-Li?
Those bastards.
So, I'm just going to cover this real quick. It's going to take like a minute, but Jezebel, you can take it seriously or whatever. I don't know. I have a friend who thinks that this entire article was a joke, but someone wrote an article on Jezebel that said, who forgot to invite Chun-Li to Mortal Kombat? And really, it was just a 3-paragraph thing, and it was published at 4:20 p.m. yesterday talking about, where's Chun-Li? I couldn't help but notice the glaring missing Chun-Li. What's up with her erasure? And then at 4:39 p.m., 19 minutes later, update, Jezebel has discovered the answer to our question about Chun-Li's erasure, and it is that Chun-Li is not part of Mortal Kombat. Wow. So to give you, like, this is blown up, and the thing is, like, people are saying like horrendous things about the author, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, I think it's kind of, it's not Mortal Kombat knowledge, I think it's video game, like general video game knowledge, that Chun-Li is not part of Mortal Kombat. But to give you an idea of how much this is blown up, the article before that one on Twitter garnered 2 comments, 10 retweets, and 19 likes. This article got 1,600 comments, 4,100 retweets, and 2,600 likes. It got ratioed to hell. Like, that thing is demolished. They haven't like said anything, and that's fine. Like, I think that's just something to kind of laugh about. But yeah, they Chun-Li is not in the movie, guys.
Oh no. Whatever will we do? Jamie, what are your thoughts?
I liked it. I'm just curious to see where it goes. I have to now decide if I want to watch it at home or in a theater. I probably will do it at home, but it could be fun to watch on the big screen. Do we know the whole roster of everyone that's going to be in it?
No, only the I mean, we could IMDb it and see, but I'm pretty sure it's just the what we saw in the trailer. Because they threw Goro in there, and I was ready for that. I'm sad no Johnny Cage.
No one really likes Johnny Cage.
Yeah, but it's like they have all of the originals except Johnny Cage.
Well, like, they're trying to not duplicate.
Well, no, I'm talking about the original game, the first Mortal Kombat game. They have the entire roster of the first game except Johnny Cage. And then obviously additions like Kung Lao and such. Pat, what were your thoughts?
I'm super excited. I've wanted a new Mortal Kombat movie for a long time. I'm a stickler for female characters, obviously. And so I'm super glad that Melina is in it, but I really am going to be disappointed if she doesn't have a big part. She is my favorite character. I like the fact that she's half whatever the fuck Baraka is. Because she's a badass, and I want to see her rip somebody's head off with her mouth. She's not very much in the trailer, so obviously she probably won't have a big part. It's probably going to be all Sonya, which, I mean, whatever. But yeah, no, I'm super excited. I'm glad I'm satisfied I'm getting one, and I will be satisfied that I'm getting the characters that I get.
I was all in. Like, A, the second they showed Sub-Zero, who's always been my favorite, and like the way he used the ice powers, I was like, yep, okay, cool. Also, the actor that they have playing Scorpion, he's been one of my favorites for a long time. I like old like martial arts movies, right? So I watch a whole bunch of those like 70s like, you know, karate and kung fu films. And if you're a fan of either Quentin Tarantino or those old films, you might know who Sonny Chiba is. He was the guy who was pumping out just like 10 karate movies a year in Japan at one point. And that actor who plays Scorpion was like his kid sidekick in all of those. And he wore like super short booty shorts like all the time. But I've been a fan of him since then. And then he kind of dropped off the map. But then he popped back up in The Last Samurai, where he beats the hell out of Tom Cruise like repeatedly throughout the entire movie. So, you know, he just keeps earning points. And so to see him as Scorpion was awesome. And I'm loving that, you know, the Japanese characters are played by Japanese people. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, finally, the Chinese people are played by Chinese people. Like, they have it like racially broken up like the game had it. But the thing that got me on my like fifth watch of the trailer was at the end. The music that they're playing is just an orchestral slowed down version of the techno Mortal Kombat theme. If you go back and watch it, especially at the end, you hear it. And I was like, oh, I really hope that's the theme of the movie. Just like the orchestra version of that old Mortal Kombat song from the first movie. My inner 8-year-old would do a backflip.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. So that comes out April 16th. We'll probably talk about it after it comes out and we all get to watch it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. All right. So we have some HBO news. So Last of Us 2 came out last year, and now we are finally getting The Last of Us Show, and they have finally cast Joel and Ellie. Joel will be played by Pedro Pascal, who is known from The Mandalorian and Game of Thrones. So I'm not sure how I feel about that one. And then Ellie is going to be played by Bella Ramsey, who is also best known from Game of Thrones on HBO, and she was Lyanna Mormont. So I'm curious to see what they do with the show. It could be fun. So I just don't know. Have they said where this takes place in the timeline, Luke? I haven't looked into it.
I haven't. I believe it's the first. It's obviously the first game.
Okay, is that what they're doing? Is they're just redoing the first game, basically?
Probably, and then they'll probably do a... Like, I bet you this, if it's more than one season, you'll do the first game in the first season, and then the second season will be, the gap between the games. And then they may just ride that for a while. Because I can't remember what the exact time between the end of the first game and the start of the second game is, but it's a little bit.
Yeah, it's quite a few years.
So hey, they can just ride that gap for however long they want to.
Yep.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about the casting?
I'm happy with it. Like, I love Pedro Pascal. Like, I'm glad to see him getting a lot of work, because I remember I saw him in Game of Thrones when he got his eyes squished and stuff like that, and I liked him. I actually really started liking him when I was watching Narcos. He was really good in that series. And he's been awesome in Mandalorian, you know, with the role he has. So, yeah, I'm happy with it, and I think Bella Ramsey's going to do great. She's a little badass in Game of Thrones. So, yeah, I'm good for both of them.
I don't know very much about Bella Ramsey. I know that there's some criticism about her not looking too much like Ellie, but Pedro Pascal is getting a lot more criticism for not looking like Joel, which I think at this point is kind of like a really dumb thing to complain about. From the very little that I know about Pedro Pascal, he handed up quite nice in Wonder Woman, and he does a great job in Mandalorian. That's really the only things I know him from, so I think he'll do a great job. I don't really don't have too many complaints or comments on it.
What about you, Panda Pat?
Sorry, I'm a little distracted. I'm super excited just because I really like Pedro Pascal, and I like when characters from different shows work together in other shows. But yeah, so I don't really have any.
do you want to do the Mass Effect news story?
Yes, I can do the Mass Effect news story. Okay.
Or Ass Effect.
Oh, this is where you need one of those sound effects. Yeah.
I don't have that. I just have voices.
Damn it. You need to get on that soundboard. It has the horns and the fart noises, so you could be full morning DJ.
That would be fun.
Wait, no, don't do that. I don't want to give you that power.
Too late.
You've planted the seed.
Okay, so Mass Effect Legendary Edition will dial it down the butt shots. BioWare announced the release date and new details for the much-anticipated Mass Effect Legendary Edition this week, while the biggest updates in the remaster to the series are cosmetics. One specific change piqued the interest and
ire
of fans. That's not a word I've seen before. The remaster will alter camera cuts that focus on characters' butts. Lame. In an interview with Metro UK, Mass Effect Legendary Edition project director Mac Walter said BioWare reconsidered how they portrayed characters like Miranda in the remaster. Characters and environment director Kevin Meek actually called out some camera cuts that were just, why was that focusing on Miranda's butt, Walter said. So in some cases, we said, okay, we can make a change there. Walters indicated that they weren't changes to specific character models, but instead update to where cameras were angled. I like the butts. perhaps the most well-known instance of Mass Effect's questionable camera angles is a scene from Mass Effect 2 where she's talking to Commander Shepard about rescuing her family, and instead of focusing on either of their faces, the camera focuses priorly on Miranda's ass. People on Twitter and Reddit already noticed the changes that are voicing their support or disagreements with the decision. So I had a hard time playing Mass Effect the first one because of the camera angles, and it wasn't anything to do with the butts, but it was the third person view. I always had a hard time aiming.
Says the Gears of War fan.
Yeah, but that one wasn't bad. With Mass Effect, I don't know why, but I couldn't, maybe it didn't have like auto aim or something.
And the characters weren't chonky enough for you?
Shut up! No, but like, I don't know. I always had a hard time with it. It felt weird to me. Gears of War did not feel weird to me. So I wasn't never able to beat it. I always wanted to because I always wanted the, you know, lesbian action. I wanted to get to the lesbian action part.
Hurry up with this action. I need to get to the other action.
But yeah, I don't know. I couldn't play that game. So.
Okay. Anyone else have any thoughts on Mass Effect 2?
So I've only played Mass Effect 1 and 2. I haven't played 3. I'm more excited of the fact that I actually have one continuous save file. I've tried several times to do one complete playthrough. Mm-hmm. And I certainly noticed the abundance of ass shots, which was when I read this. I was like, oh, yeah, of course, because I could vividly remember that. And at the time, I didn't think anything of it. But maybe that's just evidence of the fact that like there was no point to it. So I have no I think it's a really good call. I think you should really focus on character development, not ass development. And I think that it will be fantastic to play it through. And to be honest, I really doubt I'm going to notice the lack of butt shots.
Ass development is just as important as character development.
Need a fully fleshed out ass.
That's true.
That's right. You gotta do your squats, man. You gotta do your squats.
Oh, God.
Has anybody played Velvet Assassin?
No.
Nah. No.
She has a great ass. You guys
should check that out. Welcome, Panda Pat, our local ass expert. Tell us about Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart arrives on PS5 June 11th.
Oh yeah, she does have a great ass.
Oh my god, yes!
So excited.
Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is a brand new full-length adventure when the evil Dr. Nefarious uses a device that can access alternate dimensions to find a galaxy where he always wins. Ratchet and Clank are separated as they try to reunite. They will meet a new Lombax resistance fighter, explore new and familiar locales, but with a new dimensional twist, and wield a whole new arsenal of this world's weapons. I have never played a Ratchet and Clank game. This is an excellent one to start, as the adventure is a standalone storyline, but longtime fans of the series will find deeper layers of connection to previous games. Yeah, I never played Ratchet and Clank, so I don't have interest in this.
Ratchet and Clank was always fun.
I love them, so I'm excited.
I'm not a big Ratchet and Clank player either. I think Jamie's probably the biggest one that we have here.
Yeah, I need to go back to going commando and get my platinum in that game. I was just still mad about losing my save file. So they've got multiple pre-orders out for this game, and this is the one where I get torn, because with the digital, you get quite a bit more, I believe, with this one. So
mm-hmm.
I love having the physical copies. So now I have to decide if I just want the physical copy or go digital.
Right. So guys, this is a story that is close to my heart. Lego Sonic the Hedgehog is a delightful dose of nostalgia, and I am so happy for it. This is a fan-made design. So after Super Mario got the official Lego treatment last year, it had to be. It had to be Sonic next. And a fan-made Sonic the Hedgehog Lego concept went down... I don't remember writing that. I typed this all sorts of wrong. People pitched it to Lego. Lego said, eh, and then everyone was like, whoa, no. Let's get this going. So the person that designed it is Viv Grinnell, however you want to say that. It's just Green Hill Zone. And it looks amazing. Like it's got a giant robot Robotnik. You got Sonic, you got the loop-de-loops, it's when you close your eyes and picture Green Hill Zone, that's what you're thinking of. So I'm very, very excited to get that and figure out a place in my house to prominently display it. So everyone can, bask in the glory that is Green Hill Zone.
yeah, that'd be a fun set, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this story's pretty fun. So a Breath of the Wild fan pulls off perfect no damage run after 100 plus tries.
Why? Was there really no other game to play? Why? Oh, man. Like, I could play that game through once. I think it's a good game. I don't think it's a good Zelda game. Why on earth would you like a game so much that you want to do a perfect no damage run? What's the point?
So why?
This
bit of this article comes from Polygon, and I loved it. It said, there is no force on earth more patient than a video game speedrunner. In late January, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild expert Joe Dunn became the first person to ever complete 100% speed run of the game while taking zero damage. And while that's a feat into itself, the road there was grueling.
There's no other person. Of course it's a speed run. There's nobody that would do that.
Speed run really does mean everything. You need to beat the game, but you need to collect all container upgrades, finish your adventure log, and find all 900 Korok seeds. Obtain all the key items and fully upgrade every permanent weapon and armor, along with the standard things like beating every shrine. And you need to do all this without taking a single hit to your health points. In a game where it's extremely easy to hurt yourself just trying to pick up a random object and move it through the air, it might sound impossible. For a while, it was. Joe Dunn told Polygon that it took months of failed tries to get his first official clear. When he finally pulled it off, his chat erupted with a sea of easy clap messages. And he said, the most challenging aspect was definitely never giving up. You see, I failed 100 plus times, with three of those being 30 plus hours in.
Oh my gosh.
To keep pushing myself and not give up and not let the game beat me was definitely the hardest. I can
you do you, man.
Incredulity.
You do you. If that's what you think is fun, do it. I'm done with one playthrough of that game. I'm fine. I got to experience other things.
I love it.
Okay, cool. I mean, good job.
It's do you remember what the record was?
He's the only one who's ever done it. So
he is the record.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd that he calls it a speed run. There just has to be one other person to go through that, and he'd be like a serious contender.
I love it. I love it.
What is his time on it? Like, what did he time himself on to do all of that?
I don't know.
I thought it was around 30-some hours when I read the article, but I could be wrong.
Man. It's insane. And then there's me. Where the hell is the next thing for me to get the thing? An hour and 20 minutes later. Oh, It's right next to me.
No damage does absolutely nothing. It's like you literally could experience everything that game has to offer. Right? And you can still say, like, nah, I like it so much, I'm going to do it again with no damage.
What
happens if someone beats his time? Is he going to do it again?
Maybe. He might.
I don't know.
He might. And I think the thing that in Jamie's mind, there's no trophy for this.
Exactly.
No, there isn't.
There's no trophy.
The game
there's
doesn't even recognize it. There's no
for doing it. There's not even the satisfying chime.
No in-game medal or anything like in Hyrule Warriors. Like, there's, you know, at least medals. There's nothing for that in this
Jamie
game.
Jamie reads this and stands up. Pointless! Pointless! There was no platinum.
Well, no, I mean, Jamie and I had a really productive conversation where speaking to trophy hunters, like, I get it now. I understand it. I will never be a trophy hunter, but I at least understand it. This brings in a whole new level of bafflement to my brain. I don't even know if that's a real word.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Like, that's at least 130 hours used up on a single game. Actually, strike that.
300.
That's got to be at least 300 hours because he had to have completed prior. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't his first time beating the game. He's beat the game before. He's probably also 100%ed it before on a separate run through. This is at least 300 hours done. And the game doesn't even recognize that you took no damage. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. His Switch profile will be like, you have played this game for 400 hours.
Yeah, I guess.
Funny. That's about it, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I've got so many games in backlog that I don't even know if I would try to do that if there even was a trophy for it and there was trophies for that. I enjoyed Breath of the Wild. I don't know if I would even attempt that because you can get hurt so easily in that game.
You can walk out of the starting area and then, like, an apple can fall on your head and you lose a quarter of a heart. It's just... Like... Not even that. There's the first area where you have to walk through a cold mountain. And you can lose health by just getting cold. In fact, I think that's supposed to happen. Like, he had to have done some
You have to get warm pants.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then plus you have the time to map out everything and make sure you have the... you know, most optimized route to go get all 900 Korok seeds and the shrines.
What if he missed a seed? What if he didn't realize it and he missed a seed and he's in one corner of the map and he's like, but this is a speed run. Like,
maybe he has a Twitch mod helping him out. Okay, now you got to go there. Okay, don't forget to go there.
I don't get it.
Like the coach on the side. All right, man, you can do it. Just keep going. Don't get hit. Right. Remember Perry here.
Don't get it.
All right, Mike, give us some Prince of Persia news.
Prince of Persia remake is delayed, and not the movie, which I think they should have continued the movie series. But the Prince of Persia Sands of Time was going to be remade by Ubisoft because the last time we got that game was I think a PS3 port. It was originally a PS2 game, but it's still coming out. It just has an indefinite release time. It was supposed to be released this month, next month. It was supposed to be released.
Yeah.
But the Ubisoft was like, we gotta make sure it's of the correct level of quality, which is bullcrap because they can turn out like... a hundred different Assassin's Creeds annually. But I think what really happened was that Ubisoft is really putting a lot of their resources into the Star Wars game. They're like, what's going to get us more money and more like good press after the sexual assault scandal? They're not as bad as EA, but they're really close to it. like, what's going to get us more goodwill? Prince of Persia: Sands of Time or a new Star Wars game after the license has expired for EA?
Right.
I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, that would make sense. Resources.
And I think they have a skeleton crew on Sands of Time now. So that's just my opinion. But
I mean, that makes sense.
It does. Do you also think they might be gun shy after what happened with CD Projekt Red? Like, well, we don't want to push out something that's not at their standard.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, CD Projekt Red making Cyberpunk 2077, they made every mistake in the book. Like, in retrospect, we can say that. But Prince of Persia: Sands of Time is a very linear, like it's based on a single mechanic that you just exploit throughout the entire game. It should not be as arduous to make or make sure it's bug-free unless... I mean, is this a remake? Yeah, it's a remake. Okay, so maybe that's a little bit more of an excuse instead of it being a remaster. But still, yep. I really think that... Like, honestly, if I was running Ubisoft, it would be a no-brainer to put everything on the Star Wars game to make sure it's not going to turn out like Cyberpunk 2077. Because Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, it's never going to bring in as much money as Star Wars. It just seems more like more business sense to me.
Yeah. Okay, Jamie, let's talk about that there Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, so we haven't had a Nintendo Direct in a while. We had a couple minis last fall, but I don't remember the last time we had an actual full, almost hour-long Nintendo Direct, but we had one yesterday. So, or was it 2 days ago? Was it Wednesday? I don't remember.
Yeah, the 17th, yeah.
Yeah. So, as most Nintendo Directs do, they start out with a Smash Brothers reveal for a character, and this one was Pyra and Mythra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. So they will be joining Smash. So some people seem to be excited for it, and other people are like, yay, another sword fighter. So they looked great. I mean, the characters looked just like they came out of the game. So I was excited with the way they look. I haven't played Smash in forever, though, so I haven't picked up any of the new DLC packs. All right, so they announced Fall Guys is coming to Switch this summer, so summer of 2021. We also saw a trailer for The Outer Wilds landing on Switch sometime this year. And they announced there's two Famicom detective games. They'll be digital only. So these were big in Japan, I take it. And there's two different versions of these games. And those could be fun. I know a couple people were excited to see those show up. And then the first big reveal after that was Mario Golf Super Rush is coming June 25th this year. So I don't remember the last Mario Golf game. Was there one? GameCube had one, but was there one after that?
Not that Switch? I can remember.
So, yeah, I don't recall either. I thought GameCube had the baseball and Switch. Baseball and golf. And maybe tennis. But, yeah, I feel like GameCube had most of them, and then they've been kind of hit and miss ever since. They announced Ninja Gaiden Master Collection, so it'll have Ninja Gaiden 1, 2, and 3 on it, which, you know, those games have been out now for, 15 years, the original one? So, and then the sequels, obviously, have not been out as long. I do believe that's also coming out on PS4 and probably Xbox, because those were originally Xbox games, right?
Yes.
So, and then they did get ported. I remembered playing Ninja Gaiden on my Vita, so that was fun. They're definitely challenging. They announced Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity is going to get two DLC packs this year, one in June and one in November. So we have that. And let's see. I think then the next big reveal, the 35th anniversary of Zelda is coming up. Is it next month?
I think so. I'd have to double check.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact date. So everyone was expecting we were getting something Legend of Zelda-wise. I was hoping we'd get the Mario treatment with, like, three games in one. You know, hopefully porting over Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, and Skyward Sword HDs. But their main reveal was we are getting Skyward Sword HD.
Which I'm excited for that because I tried to play it on the Wii, but the
Motion controls?
I was just not down with the motion controls. So getting a chance to actually play that will be nice.
Yeah, so they announced that they did port over the motion controls to the Joy-Cons, so you can use the two Joy-Cons, because on the Wii you had to use the Wiimote and the Nunchuck.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to use the two Joy-Cons, but because of the Switch Lite now being out, they did have to map a way to do it without the Joy-Cons.
Good.
So it's the right analog stick. You move it diagonally to slice diagonally, and then, you know, horizontally and vertically. So you will have an option to not use the motion controls. So I'm going to be curious how that works out. Because now I'm wondering how you do the camera. I'm wondering if you're going to have to hold down a button and then use the analog stick to rotate it.
I was like, just let me push the button for what you want me to do instead of using the analog. If they're smart, they'll let you remap it, at least.
I don't know, because they said they worked on this for a while to figure out the best way to do it, and they finally determined that using that right analog stick to do the slashing of the sword was the way to go. So we shall see. And then also we are getting some Joy-Cons. That one will be the Master Sword-looking representation, and the other one will be a Hyrulean Shield representation, patterns on the Joy-Cons. So those will come out the same day, July 16th. And I was at GameStop earlier, and I was told they already sold out. They did online only, and they were gone in seconds. So I had no idea they were even going up today or whenever it was. And yeah, so potentially you have a chance of finding them if you're interested. We'll see. I don't know how hard they're going to be to come by. I'm sure people will be looking for them all over. It's Zelda stuff. When it came to Breath of the Wild, the Master Edition, I think they called it, I had no chance in finding that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was gone in seconds, too. And then they ended with a final reveal, and that was Splatoon 3, and that's going to bring the battle to the Splatlands in 2022. So, a decent direct. I was hoping for some Metroid Prime goodness, because they teased Metroid Prime 4 2 years ago.
That's never going to happen.
We're never going to get it.
No.
Whatever the Switch Pro is, or whatever the next Switch is, they will potentially maybe make it to that. Who knows? What are the other games that people were hoping for? I mean, I know what everyone else was hoping for, and they even like had to say it. Breath of the Wild 2, there was no updates, and they even took a second before it and said, "We all know you want to hear about Breath of the Wild 2. We have nothing for you at this time. Like later this year, we will."
And then a mass of people tuned out.
Yep, they were like, "Screw you, Nintendo." I think overall decent direct. A lot of good stuff coming for the Switch. I mean, they are definitely backing this better than the Wii U. And are the sales up there to where the Wii was? I think I read something, and I think Reggie said he's retiring because it's done so well.
Oh, Reggie's already moved on.
Yeah.
He's already moved on quite a bit. I think I feel like he jumped on with GameStop, actually, as one of their board members.
No, maybe. I haven't followed his career lately, but I did see an article that came up that, like, yeah, he had no problem retiring after the Switch did so well.
I love it.
But no new Pokemon news, although if for the Pokemon Sword and Shield players, I was just at GameStop, they've got a Pokemon Pass for, what was the Pokemon that started the 19th, which is today. It was a shiny. They've got the Toxtricity in the store, so you have to go in with your Pokemon Pass. So I saw their little flyer there on one of the end caps. So if anyone's a Pokemon Sword and Shield player, they've got a shiny Toxtricity in the store there to pick up with a Pokemon Pass.
Interesting.
So
interesting. All right, yeah, that's really what we got for you guys this week. We're hoping to get another episode up next week talking a little bit about some of the it wasn't BlizzCon, was it? It was just the Blizzard
shout out to my brother. Yeah, so BlizzCon is happening.
That's right.
Or going to happen. And my brother I just retweeted my brother's tweet. But he normally dresses up as a duck, and he likes to ask questions about when are ducks going to be introduced into World of Warcraft, which they are not yet. And so I retweeted him because that's his question, and it's gotten put up in the Blizzard Halls of Fame. So,
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Still, there's a lack of quack.
Quack, quack. That makes me very happy.
That's my brother. He made that up.
It's awesome. Sorry, you guys, got anything else before we want to wrap this up? No? Awesome. All right.
Play more games, everyone.
Yes, play all the games. Thanks for listening. Oh, yeah, Jamie?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, game harder, man.
There it is. All right, guys, bye.
Bye.
Take it easy. Bye.
This show is part of the Geek Nerd Network.
Geek Nerd Network.
Find more shows like it at geeknerdnetwork.com.
This is Jen.
Hey there, my name is Tyler.
I'm Mary.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Kylie.
And we'd like to invite you to join us in the Fortress of Comictude podcast, where we discuss such topics as...
Creator Focus, where we pull a comic creator's name out of a bucket and talk about their history and books they've worked on.
We also do what's called the Comic Book Club, where we pick a book, read page by page, and analyze how cool it is.
And Was It Really That Bad, where we take an old comic book movie from the past that got horrible reviews and decide if it was truly, really that bad.
Plus creator interviews, movie reviews, top five lists, and so much more. So join us in the Fortress of Comictude.